Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 through 51. I'm going to encourage you and invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. May the word of God fall afresh on your ears this day. Now, every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Ever since Advent, we've been on this journey of seeking. The thing about seeking Christ, it doesn't end when Christ shows up in the manger. I think that last week we talked about Epiphany and that story coming after the birth of Christ. It's that sign that we are to continually seek out Jesus. And that's what we're all here to do. To be in relationship, we've all been invited in some way to be in relationship with Christ. Some of us would call it a conversion experience. Some of you in this room have had a conversion experience, and some of you may think, "I don't feel like I've had a conversion experience. I feel like I've known Jesus all my life." Both are true, both are valid, both are good. And anything in between that is all right and good. However you met Jesus, the whole point is that you met Jesus, right? But it is for those of you who've had a conversion experience to think about and to remember that moment when you thought, "You know what? I'm going to give this Jesus a try." That moment of belief. For some of us, it might be worth remembering our own journey, how far we've come. From the moments of our teaching, maybe from our mom, our dad, our grandparents, our Sunday school teachers, those lessons and learned, and how much we've grown in our understanding of who Jesus is. And in both types, it's this learning and growing of being in relationship with someone, and that we are supposed to be growing in that relationship. We are continually seeking out to be in relationship. It's like any other relationship, any important relationship that you want to keep close to you, you work at that relationship. Part of it, you're driven by the desire, the want to be with that person and to know that person. And part of it is to make sure that you don't lose. I mean, think about it. There were probably people in high school for you that you were super duper close with. And many of us lose that contact. We think that we're going to be friends for the rest of our life. Now, if I call these folks, they're going to know who I am and we're still friends, but we're not intimate friends anymore. You see what I'm saying? Because I didn't keep up. Neither one of us kept up with those relationships. You see, even though you may have had a great foundation in a relationship, if you don't work at it, they will not be as powerful and as strong as they once were. Are you following me in this? Okay. So your relationship with God isn't any different. You're either growing in relationship or you are growing behind in your relationship. There's not really any stagnant in relationship. All right? Those of you who are married, if you start ignoring your spouse, your relationship is going to grow stale. All right? There's something about continuing to work together in that relationship to make it work. If you have kids, if you've got parents, it's the same thing. Aunts and uncles and cousins. If you want that relationship to work, you pursue that relationship. God wants a relationship with you. God is consistently pursuing you. You may not realize it or not, but God continues to knock on your door whether you are paying attention or not. Because God wants that relationship. God wants this relationship to work really, really, really bad. If you don't believe that, go and read the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ one more time. Wants it to work. So as we enter into this relationship in our busy lives, in our busy world, how do we make this relationship work? Because it's not as tangible as our human relationships. It's on a spiritual level. And our culture does not cultivate, acknowledge, put that on the priority burner for us. It's something for us that we've really kind of got to figure out. Our culture is very much about give me the facts, make it black and white, and make it as simple as possible. Can you just boil that down to a sound bite for me, please? That's our culture. And we're inundated with these sound bites all the time. So our mind is constantly processing and thinking. Our mind is always at work. But our hearts may not be, and what I would say, our gut instinct may not be. All right? It's not processing. It's not working. I think when we talk about the way we read the Bible, we're going to talk about that in a minute. This goes hand in hand. You cannot get the Bible in a nutshell. You cannot get the Bible in a sound bite. It is the length and the breadth of the Bible. And there are certain ways that we need to read it together in order to get that length and breadth, because it cannot be boiled down to a soundbite as our culture would like it to be. And our hearts and our gut instinct have got to get in line with what the Holy Spirit is trying to do with us as we read it. So thinking about our own conversion, what that means is God is making God's self present to us in powerful ways. All right? That there's this spiritual thing going on within us. And sometimes it's happening so slow we don't even catch on to it. But it's called metanoia. It sounds annoying. For some of us, it might be annoying. But the word is metanoia, and it means change. All right? It means that God's slowly changing us, making us more like Christ. More like that one needful thing. All right, that's grace. You don't have to do anything to earn grace. You don't have to do anything to earn God's presence. You don't have to do anything to earn God's love. You don't have to earn anything for God being in your life. You don't earn that. That is God's gift to you. That is grace. Grace isn't just about salvation. It's not just about being forgiven of sins. Grace is so much more than that. Being forgiven of our sins is part of grace, but that's not the whole part of grace. The whole part of grace is God is with you, Emmanuel. That's God's grace. Jesus Christ was a sign, an outward sign of that grace. Jesus Christ's whole life, death, and resurrection was an outward sign of that grace given to you, to every person. All right. That's what grace is. So when we talk about growing in grace and knowledge, that's what grace is. Knowledge, on the other hand, is what we receive from experience in knowing. It's not just reading book smart when we talk about biblical knowledge. It's relational, all right? We're going to get a little risque here for a minute. If you got little kids, hold their ears. This is juicy. Are you on the end of your seat? When the Bible talks about a woman and a man coming together intimately, the scripture says, and he knew her. All right? He knew her. When Abraham married Sarah, it talks about him knowing her. Are you with me? Ooh. All right. There's this special part of knowing and knowledge in relationship that you get to know someone on a more intimate and deep way. All right. That you get to know the ins and outs of this person, the way they tick, why they do what they do, the foods that they like, how they like their coffee, what makes them happy, how to comfort them, how to live life with them abundantly together. That is knowing. It's way different than book smarts, right? It's studying a person and knowing a person on a very deep level, all right? That is so intertwining that you can't separate them anymore. They are so a part of you that you cannot imagine living without them. That is biblical knowledge. That's knowing in the biblical sense, all right? Outside of the risque part, all right? So when we talk about knowing through grace and knowledge, it's that intimate experience acknowledging that this is a gift from God, that we get to know God on this level. And it changes and motivates us to move us out into the world that we can express what we've experienced in grace and knowledge through our faith. That it becomes, our faith becomes an outward sign of an inward knowing and an inward grace. Faith is outward expression. It's not an internal expression. It is an outward expression. So this knowledge and this grace and this knowing, people in our culture think that to know God more is to simply read your Bible. That's only half correct, because your Bible is more than black and white words on a page. I've told you this before, and I'm going to tell you again. For some of you, this may be new. The Bible in and of itself holds authority because the culture has decided that it holds a certain amount of authority, that there's rules and there's laws in this book. And we would like to say that we can make it cut and dried. Well, the problem with that is the Bible doesn't always agree with itself. Okay, here's the problem trying to put the Bible in a soundbite. You can't. And you cannot read it black and white. What happens when we read black and white? When we go to scriptures black and white, we oppress people because we want to. We want to be the better person. So where can we easily get that authority? What do we want to prove? Oh, you know what? Hitler thinks. I want to be Germans to be supreme. The Jews killed Jesus. It's biblical. Hitler proclaimed himself to be Bible-believing. Do you hear that? Use scripture to authenticate his cause and obliterated a people on biblical foundation. That's dangerous, folks. Know the difference. Women, for a very long time, were told, you must submit to your husband. And they would go to their pastors and say, my husband drinks and he beats me. Well, you know what? You married him. The Bible says you have to submit. Black and white reading of the word. And women got to stay in those relationships. It's a reading of the Bible. Black and white reading of the Bible. Are you with me? All right. The founding of this country, many people had slaves. The southern slave owners said, the Bible tells us how to treat our slaves. The Bible's cool with it. Even Paul states how we should treat our slaves. It's okay. I don't know why you people are making such a big deal out of it. Reading of the Bible, black and white. What happens is people get so full of pride, whatever we want it to say, we can twist the word of God and make it say it. In a book that already holds authority in our culture. See, the problem is we go out with our own free will, stripping it of the spiritual truth and essence. And the only way to get to that is to trust in the Spirit of God. Over and over again, Jesus said, I have to leave. But when I do, I'm sending you the Advocate, the Spirit of God, and the Spirit will teach you everything you need to know. Jesus said, I'm going away. Make sure you read your Bible. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, I'm sending you the Spirit. The Spirit will teach you everything you need to know. So when we go to the Bible, we have to be fully reliant on the Holy Spirit to lead us in the reading of the Word. So what that means is when we go to the Word, we have to get rid of all of our assumptions of what we think it says every single time. And go with an expectation that the Spirit of God's going to reveal God's self and teach you something new every single time. Every single time. We've come to a point where we're so very polarized on the black and white of things. And we've completely been stripped of the true power and authority of our life that goes deeper and penetrates our heart and our gut, our instincts, that truly has the power to change the way we feel and act and do and say, that motivates us and moves us to a faith that proclaims the truth about Jesus Christ. When Jesus was at the well with the woman, the Samaritan, and they were talking about future worship, and Jesus says, yes, you will worship in grace and truth, spirit and truth. You will worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus didn't say, you're going to be worshiping with the black and white spirit of the law. The Bible's important, folks, but what's more important than that? The Spirit of God that dwells in you, that one that knows you and has invited you to know God, has invited you to know Jesus, has invited you to know His Spirit on a very deep level, so deep that you cannot be separated, that you cannot live without, that you have to know more and more every single day. So you have a handout in your bulletin, other than the Super Bowl, which is awesome. It is this little card, Lectio Divina. And I wanted to practice that here this morning. We're going to do a short example so you kind of know. What I want you to do, because we're running out of time. Okay, we're running out of time. Breathe deep. No, seriously, take a deep breath. Again. Deep. Some of you may be struggling with these deep breaths because you're not used to taking deep breaths anymore because you're stressed out all the time. And you're like, I forgot what my lung capacity was. All right, that's part of the practice, is to learn to relax in the spirit. So I want you to get in a comfortable position. Some of you get so comfortable on Sunday mornings, which I am so happy about, that you fall asleep. Like, you're so comfortable here. I am, you know, that's awesome, because most of us come around with walls. Like, we're fully alert. Like, some of you are like, ah, church. You know, you should feel that way when you come to church. Your wall should be down. All right? That's what it is to be in the spirit. Finally, a moment. All right? So what happens is when you get in that place and you've breathed deep and you've laid down your burdens, you've laid down your assumptions, but yet there's a spirit of expectation that you are going to meet and you are going to be present in the Holy of Holies. But you get to relax in that place. You find your Bible and you open it up. And you don't read to just read. You don't read for the black and white of the word. You're not reading for those black and white answers. You're not reading for knowledge. You're just reading for the experience of God. And the scripture I extend to you this day, breathe, be still, and know that I am God. Breathe in again. This time, I want you to reflect on a word that might stick with you. Be still and know that I am God. You breathe. And you capture that word. And you sit with it for just a moment. And you go back to the holy word. And you read it one more time. Be still and know that I am God. And you enter into a time of prayer, thanking God for the word, thanking God for the revelation, however small or however big it might be, and ask God to continue to reveal God's self so that it impacts and influences the way you receive your day, the way you act throughout your day, how you encounter people. Where is God leading you in that word so that it goes beyond your mind? It penetrates your heart and goes deep down within to that gut where your instinct is held, and it surrenders to God. Scripture I read earlier, Jesus was found in the temple, and his parents said, why are you here? Don't you know where to find me? Don't you know where to find God? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.